you know, like, if you just say what everyone else is saying, it's how interesting is it going to be?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You don't have to get too caught up in, like, the numbers or the standings or whatever. Like, it's just your gut.
Yeah, just say what you think.
I mean, it's sports. It's not, like, it's not fucking, I don't know, science or anything.
Yeah. Unless it's sports science, and then it is sports and science.
Welcome to sports science.
Yeah. Sports. Sports and science, all in one.
Watch as the kinetic energy transfers from his feet all the way out to his body. I hate, like, that show is hilarious, but the host, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, John Brinkus.
He's just a fucking character, man.
I hate the way he signs off. He every time, it's...
For ESPN, yeah, he's got science, the hands together. Yeah.
Wait, I'm not done.
With the same shirt every time.
Listen to it. For ESPN Sports Science, I'm John Brinkus.
Because it's like, we've broken new ground today. Yeah. Welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. I'm Felix Sicard, joined by my two co-hosts, Nick and Joe Berger. Guys, it's been about a little under a week since we last recorded.
Something like that.
We're about 10 games, I think, 10-ish games into the NHL season. So we're starting to see some trends arise. We know some teams are doing well. Some teams aren't doing as well. I think are we past the, like, it's too early to say anything stage?
We're tiptoeing up to that. I'm not comfortable jumping off that ledge. I think we're still in the realm of it's too early to say.
Yeah, their numbers there are still either outlandishly low or outlandishly high.
Yeah,
for certain teams, and it's like, we still need more.
Yeah, but we're getting there.
Yeah. So in the spirit of it being potentially way too early to actually make any sort of judgment, we decided to compile some early season awards, you could call them, maybe.
We're going
to
be judgy.
Yeah.
Superlatives.
We're going to have a little season superlatives 10 games in because, I mean, look, it's only 10 games, but there's also 80 games, so it's already an eighth of the season.
Look, yeah, like, the biggest thing that's happened so far is, you know, we're living in a new world. The Cubs have won the World Series.
Yeah, I guess that should briefly be mentioned.
The Cubs won the World Series for the first time in 108 years.
And I don't know when I'm going to believe it.
Look, the Earth might end tonight, so we need to talk about these superlatives because they might be all we have.
Yeah, I mean, let's just briefly note that you guys are from Illinois, but you've actually been White Sox fans most of your life. Do you regret it all, like, your choice now?
I mean, if bandwagoning the White Sox in 2005 is being a fan for most of my life, then...
I mean, it's 11 years. You're only 25, so...
The second city, their team, is my second city, or it's actually my first city. Man.
All right.
Can you keep up with the math?
You're struggling. It's okay.
Go Giants. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Two quick thoughts on this World Series. One, I'm happy the Dodgers didn't make it.
Oh, yeah.
That's all that actually matters.
Yes.
And two, I'm glad Cleveland didn't win because I'm still bitter about the NBA Finals. So, anyway, back to the NHL. Sorry for that quick trip out to, you know, Major League Baseball. We're going to start with the most surprising team. We're going to go through most surprising team, most disappointing team, most surprising player, most disappointing player. And then at the end, we're going to do... coach we think is on his way to being fired potentially. So let's start with most surprising team. Joe, we're going to start with you. Who's your team that surprised you the most? Let's say in a good way or a bad way. I don't know. Let's see what you got.
I mean, you know, there's sort of one right off the bat, and it's Edmonton.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, because they started out, you know, what was it, 7-0-1 or something like that?
Yeah.
7-1-0. Yeah, that one coach or that one game, 3 games in, where, you know, they had, you know, a meeting, and then, you know, like, you know, like
all hell broke loose.
3 games in, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, since then, you know, they've been putting up wins. Like, you know, the past 3 games have been a little. I think they're like maybe 1-1-1.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've been very consistent.
Yeah, and Connor McDavid leads the NHL in scoring, I think, or he might. He was last night. I don't know about after tonight's games, but...
Yeah, he's right up there.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Oilers... I think there's still things maybe to be a little concerned about with their game, but like we were kind of saying this summer, as long as you have Connor McDavid, you can sort of get dragged along. you know, into a playoff spot. And given the way they've started and how things look around their division, I wouldn't really be too surprised if they sneak into the playoffs. I don't know. Like, I love what I've seen from their forward group. And I think that although they're still not super impressive at 5-on-5, like, there's clearly, I don't want to say they've turned the corner. Like, maybe they haven't played that well, but there's clearly a sign of improvement going on here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's sort of what was surprising to me. Like, I'm sort of expecting this, what they've done so far this year, next year.
Yeah. Nick, any Oilers thoughts?
I think that it's sort of what we expected. The forward group is what's carrying the team.
Yeah, it's not Adam Larson.
Yeah. The guys like McDavid and Eberle and Nugent Hopkins and Draisaitl and all those kind of guys.
Jesse Puljujärvi has also looked pretty good. Like, I love his combination of just, like, size and skill. Like, that's been a big add for them, I think.
Yeah, and then hasn't Talbot actually played pretty decently?
Yeah, Cam Talbot's actually played pretty well. I think he's been one of the reasons, actually, that they've had this level of success, because it's not like they've been really killing it on the shot count.
Yeah, so I still think that, I mean, I say this over and over, their holes on their defense.
Yeah.
I think that's going to reveal itself at some point. But, I mean, Todd McClellan is such a good coach that it just might not matter that much.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, so, Nick, what's your most pleasant, or whatever you want to call it, biggest surprise?
Most pleasant.
Your biggest surprising, your most surprising team so far?
My most surprising team in a good way, I'm going to say the Rangers.
Yeah, that's fair.
I didn't think they were going to be as bad as I think maybe you thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think they were going to come flying out of the gate like this. They're on NBCSN all the time, so I feel like I've seen every game of theirs. Yeah. They look really good.
And, like, you used the right word. They're flying.
They look really fast. Like, Jimmy Vesey already has 6 goals. Rick Nash looks reinvigorated. I think Mika Zibanejad fits in perfectly with that team.
Yeah, like, they've been one of the better teams at generating offense, generating shot attempts, shots on net. They're definitely not elite like defensively yet, but they're sort of climbing out of that maybe bottom 10. I think they're at like 20th, something like that, at shot attempts against per 60 minutes at even strength. So, like, that's, if they can hang around there, maybe move up a little bit, and then that offense keeps rolling, I don't see a reason why this team can't, like, you know, make it to the playoffs. And it's like you guys were saying, you know, the addition of, like, Jimmy Vesey, Brandon Peary, who I think is like a 50% shooting percentage right now or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, they're legitimately good offensively. And
Vesey, like, shooting percentage, he has 6 goals on 18 shots. He's
33%. Yeah. So, like, those things will level off. Like, they're not going to bowl over the league or anything, but I think it's safe to say that they're actually good.
Yeah, like,
as far as, like, the first 10 games are concerned.
Like you're saying, I think their defense, if their forwards keep playing like this and they just play the same overall style, their defense just needs to be good enough.
Yeah, and, you know, like, and we've seen the Dallas Stars, you know, work this model to a T. Outscore your opponent, don't really worry too much about defense.
Did you see what happened to Dan Girardi yesterday?
No,
I think it was Girardi. One of the Rangers defensemen got high-sticked and was hunched over. And you know that thing that's at the end of a play that players do after they get high-sticked and they're just, you know, gliding hunched over to, you know, the bench or whatever? He was doing that, and he cut the turn a little tight, so he's no longer hanging towards the bench. He's just sort of going to the boards. And he went headfirst into the boards, like 10 feet away from the bench.
That's sort of like his career, I guess. Yeah, I mean, the Rangers are surprising. I expected them to be terrible. So,
no love for Dan Girardi hitting his head on the boards?
After getting hit in the head?
Yeah, I mean, it's Dan Girardi. Like, that guy's not good, so I don't want to waste too much time talking about him. I don't know. Like, I still don't think they're, like, like anywhere near, like, the elite of the NHL.
Is Girardi or McDonough one of those?
But if they're capable of maintaining this, I mean, why not? Like, it's such an open field right now. I don't think anyone's really... I don't think there's been any team that you're like, you know, that team is far and away the best. You know, that group is really small, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was trying to figure it out. And there's a lot of teams that are having very good starts to the season. But I don't think anyone is like clear cut, like the team to beat right now.
Yeah. All right. So my most surprising team, maybe to no one's surprise, is the Montreal Canadiens. I don't think I expected them to. I think last year they started 9-0-0. This year they're 9-0-1. So like they're playing very well, and I didn't expect them to be bad. Like I think people maybe sort of overstated the loss of PK Subban, but they're clearly like still a really good team.
Yeah,
especially, and they might even like, to me, they might even be better than the team that started 9-0-0 last year, which is like, you know, saying something.
They definitely have more punch on the first line.
Yeah, their first, well, because their lines are just ordered a little bit better. You know, they have two very good second lines, or sorry, two very good top two lines, and then obviously. The hilarious thing is that Torrey Mitchell is actually leading the team in goal scoring.
He was doing this last year, too. He started off the season, you know, putting up, you know, a bunch of goals. You know, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So how many does he have?
He had at least, he had four last time, maybe five.
I don't know how many he actually, he might have five, actually.
He probably has like five or six, because yeah. Everyone has five or six right now.
Yeah, but so they're getting contributions from pretty much every line, and look, Shea Weber has looked really good for them. I think he's at like 11 points already.
Might be
12.
Would you say that's a surprise?
I don't think it's a huge surprise that he's putting up points, because that's
what he always does.
That's what he's done his entire career. But yeah, I think he's been quietly effective for them, and that's sort of what I expected. I mean, I still think this team is probably better longer with PK Subban on the team, like, you know, just comparing ages and contracts and all that. But I don't think it's, you can't really deny what Shea Weber has done for them this season.
The most surprising thing that I saw about Weber a couple days ago, his stat now is he's a plus 12.
Yeah.
So like, say what you will about plus minus as a stat, you know, being plus 12 this early in the season is still, it's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, the Habs also have like the best or second best even strength save percentage. So that probably helps that stat a little bit.
Yeah. And the best goalie.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny because Al Montoya and Carey Price are like third and fourth over in like overall save percentage.
Oh, really?
So I would take those plus minuses with a bit of a grain of salt. But look, Shea Weber's played well. And I spent my whole summer basically bashing Shea Weber. I don't think I was wrong, but I think like he's probably a better player than what I expected.
And I mean, like Shea Weber, like he puts up points, and the name of the game is to score goals. Like,
yeah,
that's what he does.
Yeah, exactly. But again, coming back to the Canadiens, the thing you can't really talk about enough with this team is how good Carey Price has looked. I think he's rocking like a 955 right now, or something like that's that.
Stupid.
And he just looks robotic out there. He makes it look so easy. And honestly, that perhaps is the biggest difference for this Canadiens team, is having their best player back. Like, it could be as simple as that.
Oh yeah, like once they lost him for the second time last year, you know, when he went down for injury the first time, they were still, you know, riding, you know, the momentum that they established in the first few weeks of the season. But when he went down again, and you know, he missed the rest of the year after that, you saw all the confidence leave.
Yeah, yeah, and that started with the coaching staff and trickled down to the players. All right, well, I think we've said enough like good things. Let's switch to a bit of a more negative vibe. Most disappointing team so far. I'll start this one off. My most disappointing team has been the Carolina Hurricanes. They've actually been one of the best, I mean, one of the like three or four best teams in the league at even strength. They dominate the shot attempt battle. Clearly, this team is capable of scoring. They have some nice young pieces. But once again, they're one of the very worst teams in terms of save percentage. Cam Ward and Eddie Lack just haven't really been able to, you know, make a significant positive impact.
They're doing what was expected.
Yeah, but the reason why I'm disappointed to some degree is because I thought not only is this team capable of making the playoffs, but you know, they kind of need to. Like they're not really bringing out that many fans, and it would be cool to see like a young team like the Hurricanes, who's well coached, who's deep, to have a shot at the playoffs and to potentially scare someone in the first round. So I don't know, like it's tough to say whether they're doing this on purpose, because everyone talks about how smart they are and how they've really adopted, you know, sort of the more analytically driven approach to the game. But if you keep trotting out Cam Ward you're not going to win a lot of games. Like, the guy just isn't good. So maybe they're doing it on purpose to just tank another year, get another high draft pick. But I don't know. Like, they're good enough now to make a little noise in the playoffs and maybe even win a round or two in the East. So I don't know. I'm a bit at a loss with the Hurricanes.
And they're just one of the many teams with goalie problems.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Nick, who's your most disappointing team?
Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's actually another team I had, but tear down the Jets for me.
Well, to be honest, I was expecting you to tear them down because, like, that's like your team. You're like, you're not even in the closet about it.
Yeah. Well, I think. Go ahead. You're the one bashing them right now.
I mean, the most surprising thing to me is that they haven't really gotten good goaltending at all.
Surprised by that?
Look at me harping on this again, but like, I guess
that is kind of surprising.
I was expecting either Hutchinson or Hellebuck, even though Hellebuck is really young and inexperienced. I was expecting more than what they've given.
Nope. Yeah.
And to be fair, I haven't had a chance to watch their games because exciting young teams don't get shown on NBCSN. But I don't know. I was expecting a little more than what they've given.
I mean, I was looking at their special teams from last year. You know, they were towards the bottom of the league last year and then this year. And, you know, last year they were, I think, 14% the power play, not great. And I think 78% on the penalty kill, bad.
Yeah.
And this year they're 11% on the power play. So it seems like they only score when Line A scores on the power play.
Yeah.
And their PK is a little bit better. They're at 80% now, but they're just sort of not getting the job done when they need to.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the thing that's been the most puzzling to me about the Jets isn't so much their goaltending because, I mean, as much as it's disappointing that neither Hutchinson or Hellebuck has really looked outstanding, that can change. You know, like, both those guys have shown that they're capable of being good. So I'm not...
Well, that's the thing is, yeah. Like, we knew they were supposed to be good, so it's just weird that they're off to a slow start. Yeah,
I mean, like, that is disappointing, but to me, I feel like it's going to change. You know, I'm not really expecting it to last. What's been really weird to me is that they haven't been good at even strength. Like, that was their calling card the last couple of years where, you know, we thought that they were a playoff team, is that they were very good at winning that shot attempt battle, you know, on most nights, and they've kind of been caved in some nights, and that's sort of weird. Mm-hmm. You know, like, has there been a tactical change by the coaching staff? Is it something about the way their lines are composed? Is it maybe the absence of Jacob Trouba? Like, I don't really know what it is, but it's just sort of weird that a team that has really been very good at 5-on-5 is suddenly below average.
Because you would have thought that it would only get better with Patrick Laine.
Yeah, exactly. So. And they have some good players, you know, like, I forget his first name, Adam Lowry, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, like, he looks pretty good. He's on that line with Patrick Laine, so... I don't know. Like, I'm still hopeful that the Jets will turn it around because I think you just have to believe in the talent they've put together and the coaching staff that's there to direct it. They should probably stop putting guys like Thorburn in the game. That probably isn't helping. Yeah. But I don't know. It's wait and see for me with the Jets. Like, whereas with the Hurricanes, the reason why I picked them above the Jets in terms of more disappointing is because you can tell the Hurricanes are there. Mm. They're ready to compete for a playoff spot. It's just that, like, it's literally just that one thing.
Yeah.
It's the goaltender.
Yeah. And then, to be fair to the Jets, too, they play in the toughest division.
Yeah. They're in a murderer's row.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
And I think they're 4-6. A lot of teams at the beginning of the season hover right around 500. And then, as they get their legs in November and December, you start to see the separation. So they're... Even though they're 4-6, they're still right there in the middle of it.
Yeah, November is really the month where you start to see teams that are going to be good start to pull away from the pack, and the teams that are just going to be in the mud stay in the mud.
Yeah.
So who's been in the mud for you so far then?
The team that I'm sort of surprised about, like, I had them, Dallas, first off, is I had them at the beginning of the season not doing as well as they did last year.
Yeah.
But... they've only scored 20 goals this year. That's tied for third least in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, Sagan's been fine. I think he has 5 goals and 3 assists. Sharp's been injured. He only had 1 point in the 4 games he played. Jamie Benn has done nothing so far. And Spezza has done not a lot more than that.
No, he scored a beautiful goal the other night.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've also had like health issues.
Yeah.
You know, they've had some injuries. I agree with you though on Dallas, and I mean, they didn't really do a whole lot this offseason. Like, they brought in Yuri Hudler, which I think was like probably one of the sneakiest offseason signings. But I don't know, losing Goligoski and Demers, I think that's hurting them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they brought in Dan Hamhuis, who I think is okay. He's a good player, but you can't lose that much skating and puck moving and expect it not to hurt you in the beginning.
Yeah, and Antti Niemi still doesn't look
good. Yeah, although I really like Steven Johns. He's a really fun player to watch.
Mm.
He's sort of like, to me, he's kind of like a Klingberg light, where he loves to you know, get involved in the rush, be that third option, and he, like, just drive to the net. So, and oh, that's actually the guy they got with Patrick Sharp.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or it was the draft pick or the guy they got with him. So that was a great move for the Stars.
Yeah, and he made a little bit of a name for himself in the playoffs last year. So
he was
noticeable.
You know, the most disappointing thing for me about this round, or maybe not disappointing, but the most surprising thing for me in this round is that none of us have mentioned Nashville.
And they were the second team.
Yeah. I actually didn't pick them because I was expecting one of you guys to pick them. So I just held off.
So you didn't pick Nashville for the same reason I didn't pick Winnipeg? Or that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
We were all just kind of bystanders. But yeah, like, I mean, it's so hard to pin down what's really exactly wrong with Nashville because they haven't been good at 5-on-5, which we all expect them to be potentially even better at. Their goaltending. It's funny, on some nights, Pekka has actually been really good.
Which you would sort of expect from him.
Yeah, you expect up and, him up
to
and
be,
down.
Be good on some nights, and then the way he's trending, below par most nights.
I read a really interesting article the other day by Travis Yost of TSN.ca, and he did a study basically comparing, you know, shot attempt rates in the first 10 games of the season, or the first 8 games, to a team's final shot attempt rate for that for that whole season. And the way you do in your first 10 games, 8 or 10 games, actually usually ends up being how you do for the whole season.
Really?
Usually. And so, obviously, there's going to be exceptions to the rule, but if you're bad now, there's a good chance you're going to be bad the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
So, for Nashville, it's really a matter of turning this thing around fast because, look, like we were saying earlier, that central division is unforgiving. So if they don't get it together, I don't know, it could go south in a hurry. So I guess I'm just going to jump the gun a little bit with their coaching question. I think, to me, if they continue to struggle like this, do they have to start asking questions about Peter Laviolette?
It's possible. I mean, his name came to mind when you proposed the most likely to get fired coach.
He's also not my pick, by the way, but I thought about it.
I thought about it too. I didn't pick him, and the main reason I didn't pick him is just because I'm very confident that Nashville is going to turn it around.
And you know, with you know, talking about, you know, making changes in with coaches, you look at Nashville and they're second worst in the conference, but you know, you have to zoom out a little bit and see that, you know, they're 3-5-1.
Yeah.
You know, so like, it's, you know, they're barely below 500. They can easily get on a hot streak and turn that around.
Yeah, it's just my biggest concern is where's that hot streak going to come from? Because if you're not generating the offense, if you're not really defending at an elite level, you know, because like some teams are just snake bitten to start. Like that's what happened with the Ducks last year. Like they had a poor month of October, but then it just really became a matter of them not being able to score.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can expect that to turn around because it's just a matter of puck luck. With the Predators, they're not really putting the odds on their side, which to me is concerning. But I'm in agreement with you guys in that this team is so loaded with skill that it seems really hard to imagine that they don't figure out a way to at least improve from where they're at.
Yeah, like they're going to get the bounces. You know, they like even on talent alone, they have enough to generate their own bounces.
And that's the thing. Like worse teams have made the playoffs.
Oh yeah,
like many times.
Yeah. And I think they might still be learning how to play with PK Subban and vice versa.
Maybe. I don't know.
A player that plays the way he does, where he's just so electrifying and has a puck on a stick all the time, you sort of have to learn how to read off of him.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But that could be one of the biggest disappointments of the year, is not seeing that team just sort of become the monster that we expected it to be.
Yeah, I think they'll get on a run.
Yeah, I agree.
I would hope so, because honestly, like, that would be a huge waste. of like talent.
So much talent.
Yeah.
I still think they could use another center behind Johansson.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I mean, the way they're set up now isn't necessarily the worst. I think they're four lines deep. You know,
I do too.
I don't think they're the team that, you know, of like even last year before they had Johansson. And I think that now what they're doing, I don't know if they're going to do this every night, but they stack their first line with Forsberg, Johansson, and Neal. So you can imagine that that could maybe kickstart the offense a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I don't think they're top heavy in any way. I just think that they could use...
Yeah, they could maybe use another forward. But, yeah. You know, you look at the young guys they have, like your boy Yarncroke, I think it is.
Carl Yarncroke,
and even Kevin Fiala, the young Swiss. Like, they have some guys who... Again, like, there's no reason for this team to be bad.
Yeah.
That's what really sort of... If it was going to be anything, it was going to be the goaltender. And that's kind of not why it's been that way.
Yeah.
They just haven't played well.
Yeah. They'll figure it out. Very, very confident.
Hey, could they have been riding Montreal? PK Subban is a locker room cancer.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, Shea Weber's absence in that locker room has just left a huge void.
Yeah.
That must be what it is.
We all saw it coming, right, guys?
Yeah. Okay. Most surprising player so far. Joe, you go first on this one.
The one that stood out to me, that because I sort of I rag on him a lot, is Cam Talbot.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I sort of expecting him to be average at best, maybe slightly above if the Oilers can, you know, put a team together. Yeah. Which, you know, they have done. But like the past few games, like the past like 5 or 6 games, he's pitched a few shutouts and only allowed, with the exception of the last game, he went on a streak. He came up with 3 goals in 6 games.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's like, pretty good.
Yeah, you know, he had a couple of bad games at the start of the season, which is sort of what, you know, it's like I was just like pointing my finger, huh, see?
Yeah.
And but you know, he's surprised me since then. Like, yeah. He has really good numbers.
Yeah, I mean the quality of their forward group plus really good goaltending has really, I mean, obviously mitigated the fact that they're still not really tilting the ice in their favor most games in just terms of shot attempts. So, yeah, I mean, I think Cam Talbot's definitely a guy that can't really ignore the way he's played. Nick, who's your guy that you can't ignore?
I mean, Richard Panik has 16 points.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was hoping no one would say this.
Yeah, me too.
did you want that one?
Dude, he has like a 60% shooting percentage or something like that, like 50%.
It's shocking.
It is shocking.
It's not sustainable. But
you have the floor. So
he plays with Kane and Panarin, right?
No.
Yeah, he does. He's on the first line. Or he might be with Taves.
Who's Anisimov playing with then?
They might be those two.
Oh, all right.
But tell me why I shouldn't be panicking.
Why you shouldn't be panicking? Man. God, that one hurt my heart. That one was just...
Tell me, like, what stood out to you besides the fact that he's... like in the news, I don't know.
It's that he has 16 points. I mean,
that many?
He has six. He has 6 goals and 10 assists.
Oh God!
Like that's shocking.
Yeah, I
who even is Richard Panik?
I think he gets less than 40 points.
Does anyone know? I'm
over under 20 points.
Yeah, I think it's very, very safe to say
this is all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, it's an optical illusion. Like, it's probably not even happening. I think we're all just having a weird dream.
And the highlights I've seen, the weirdness coming out of Chicago today. The highlights I've seen of him, it seems sort of like he's around the play and burying, like he's sort of cleaning up the trash. You know, like he's a bit of a junkyard dog.
Yeah, he's not missing opportunities.
Yeah, so you know, you have to bury the ones that are right there for you, that are gift wrapped. And, you know, playing, you know, with star players like Taves and Kane. Taves, I think, is off to a slow start, though.
He is.
You know, you're going to get your opportunities, and if you're there to bury them, that has value.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, he's doing it at an unsustainable pace.
Yeah.
Well, he's a restricted free agent next summer.
Good for him.
Who's going to overpay for him?
So, if he gets, I don't know, 20 goals, does he just get thrown a wad of money at, and then the Blackhawks get stuck not being able to re-sign him?
Yeah, and then he can just moonwalk out of the NHL. Oh my just God. Be like, I did it, guys.
What if Chicago tried to re-sign him and actually did?
I mean, I think I don't think he's going to finish with over 20 goals. So I think if they want to re-sign him, they could. Look, he's a decent player. Like, before this crazy streak, it's funny because I've always been a guy who's been a little higher in Richard Ponick. And now that everyone's so stoked on him, now I'm, like, pushing back against it a little bit. So, like, I don't really know where to, like, stand, really. He's a just, like, a decent player who's on a hot streak. Like, there's no other way to really say it.
You just came out as a Richard Ponick hipster.
I guess so, a little bit. I mean, I've known of him for, like, a long time.
I can see your mustache, like, getting thicker, like, right in front of me.
Since he has 10 points this year.
What?
You may have read it as...
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, I was going to say 16 is, like, lighting the world on fire.
You read it as 6 goals and 10 assists when it's 6 goals, 4 assists for 10 points.
Oh, okay. Oh,
man. Dude.
Plummeting back to Earth.
Yeah.
There we go.
Man, it happened already. He's already coming back to Earth. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Look at how that happened.
He's already tied his goal production from last year.
Okay.
Exactly. So it's not going to last.
In a third of the games.
Yeah, again, like, it's not going to last.
Well, since I was so brutally wrong about that, I'm just going to go into default mode and say Shea Weber is surprising. No real reason for it. just going to mention Shea Weber's name.
All right, well, I'm going to stay in that city of Montreal.
Macbeth.
My most surprising player, and, you know, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but I think Carey Price has looked outstanding this season. And given the way he missed a year... Given the injury, the nature of the injury he had, it was apparently like a very uncommon knee injury. The fact that he's been hurt multiple times at this point in his career, and usually when goalies start hurting their knees around their, you know, late 20s, early 30s, you know, like that's usually a death sentence for that goalie's career. And, you know, it's only been 10 games now, and, you know, Carey Price remains to be seen if he can play a full season, but he's looked outstanding.
Yeah.
And the Canadians need him to be that good. I think he's unquestionably the best goaltender in the league right now. And to be quite honest, like, I wasn't expecting him to be this good. I was expecting him to come back and, you know, be an above average goaltender, but I wasn't expecting him to be rocking a 955 or anything.
Yeah.
But
I didn't realize this. They're really, you know, taking the workload off of him because
Montreal's
played 10 games and
Montoya's played 3 or 4, something like that.
Price has only played 5.
Yeah.
So if no other goalie's played, then Montoya's also played 5.
Yeah, and Montoya's been very good as well. I mean, he's been just as good.
Yeah.
But I think Carey, I mean, like, just the saves he's making. Like, there was one tonight where, I forget who it was, but just had a point-blank opportunity. Looks like it's about to get past Price. Price is, like, you know, on the goal line. And he just sticks out his elbow and, you know, like, looks at the puck all the way into his elbow and then back out. Like, it's not just, like, a lucky flinch, you know? Like, he's just so in control of his body that
he got a shutout tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was a 42 save shutout.
Oh so my god.
He's allowed 7 goals in 6 games.
Like, he's been otherworldly, and you know, obviously he's not going to be this good the entire season, but it has to be encouraging for the Canadians because as you know, explosive as they've been offensively, there's still a lot of question marks around their defensive play, their ability to transition from the defensive zone to the offensive zone. So if Carey Price can just lock it down for the whole season, like, this could be the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Go ahead. No. Oh, God. Jinx. No. Jinx.
Carey Price is just a one-liner. Carey Price is kicking the Michelle Therrien can down the road.
He is. He is. But this team is getting better, like, compared to last season, just the way they're playing. And if they can continue to go on this trend of, you know, very good offense, again, Carey Price playing well and sort of shore up a bit of that defensive game, you're looking at one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Like, you just have to say it.
And the thing about Carey Price, too, is that he never seems to give up that bad goal.
He really doesn't.
It seems like he doesn't even give up bad rebounds.
It seems like he's playing in another league.
He's
playing another game, you know?
He is not of us. Like, he came from some weird planet where there's a goalie factory where goalies are made, and they just put them in a box and they ship them here.
Carey Price and Connor McDavid should have, like, some weird love, baby.
Yeah.
He'll be like the hockey savior.
It would be hockey Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Jesus Price, as they used to call him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's so encouraging to see Carey Price back because it sucked not seeing him play for a year, you know, and especially as a Habs fan, getting stuck with, like, Mike Condon, Dustin Tokarski, Ben Scrivens.
Mike Condon of Ottawa.
The newly traded Mike Condon.
They got him for a 5th round pick. That's actually a genius move by the Pens. Because, you know, they get him for nothing, and then they get a draft pick out of him.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty nice. That's a healthy return.
When you look further into it, you know, you say it's a genius move by the Pens, and there's like, oh, wait, that sort of means that they Craig Anderson might miss time because of his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was... God, I love that moment. I just want to say real quickly after the game when...
Well, for those who might not know, fill them in on what happened.
So, the game... Craig Anderson's first game after his wife was diagnosed
with cancer. Goaltender for the Ottawa Senators.
Goalie for the Ottawa Senators. Pitched a shutout in his first game after that news broke.
That his wife was diagnosed with cancer.
And then on enemy territory in Edmonton... he got a curtain call, came back onto the ice, and saluted the fans who gave him a standing ovation. Cam Talbot, the Oilers goaltender, was standing off.
That was nice.
Off to the side, stood around and stood through the whole thing. Gave him a round of applause. Just like not to be like too wishy-washy, but that's I love good sportsmanship. We've seen a lot of bad sportsmanship. Across sports, like always.
Yeah.
So I love seeing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was nice. And just the emotion on his face. Like, I mean, that entire situation sucks. And it still sucks. But to have a little moment like that of joy probably feels pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
hopefully this all works out for the best for them.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately it's just sports, you know. But it makes people feel good in that short moment. So when people say, oh, sports don't matter, sports don't have any connection to reality. Well, you know, I think in that moment, his family probably felt pretty good. Yeah. And to me, that's a win for everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that has to be a powerful moment. Like, that, just a unifying effect, I feel like. So.
Yeah, man. I don't know really what the segue...
It's hard to transition out of...
ahead of this is...
So, Coach, yeah, fart. No.
Yeah. Okay,
We will not gracefully transition out of cancer and back to Carey Price being amazing.
Yeah, so... Okay, man, that was tough. But let's talk... So now, you know, we've all covered our most, you know, impressive players or most surprising, we're going to call it, so far. Most disappointing player. I'm going to start this one. This is kind of a random one. But for me, as someone who follows the Ducks, Shea Theodore was a defenseman who I think, at least I expected to, you know, take that next step this season. You know, they gave him a shot at a training camp. The way he played last year, it sort of felt like, okay, he's a defenseman who can skate very well, has a nice first pass, loves to join the rush, creative offensively. It just seemed like it was destined for him to start the season with Anaheim and make an impact. And he hasn't been totally given that opportunity. I think that his minutes have sort of waned with each passing game. But at the same time, he just hasn't looked good. Like, he really hasn't made any plays that have made me go like, oh, like, this is what I expected from Shea Theodore. His passes are off. He's not really – his reads sometimes are a little off as well. And I don't know how much of that is because of the way the coaches are asking to play. I know that obviously the Ducks are – leaning way more this season towards dumping the puck out as opposed to passing it or carrying it. And Shea Theodore is a guy who's tailor-made for that transition game, making a pass or using his legs to get out of the zone. So it's a combination of everything maybe, but I don't know. I expected a lot more out of him.
Yeah. The first thing that came to my mind was like what you said. I feel like it's maybe a weird mix of his strengths not really working with what the coaching staff wants.
Yeah.
And you know, the Ducks are just kind of in a weird place right now. Kind of trying to find their identity, and they've got injuries to Getzlaff and Richie, who are both big parts of their team.
Two-thirds of the fourth of the first line.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, kind of surprising to hear that he's off to a slow start considering his skill set.
An opportunity was there, you know, with Lindholm out of the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, the hole was there, you know, so,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, it was Fowler that stepped up into it instead of...
It's kind of funny, because the way Fowler's playing is a bit of how I expected Theodore to play. And they didn't give him a shot straight out of training camp. They started with Jacob Larsson, which I think everyone was a little bit surprised by.
I was surprised.
Although, I've been hearing for a while now that he's, like, supposed to be really good, so I wasn't so surprised.
Where are they getting all these young defensemen from? This is.
I mean, like, they draft well. Yeah. The Ducks do tend to draft well, and like that's one of the few things keeping them afloat right now. Anyway, I don't want to go down this Ducks rabbit hole. So Nick, tell us your most disappointing player.
I mean, after the whole Richard Panik debacle, it could very well turn out that my most disappointing player is the best player in the league. Who knows?
I was going to say your most disappointing player is the most disappointing pick so far. But anyway, yeah.
I mean, last time I checked, I think David Krejci has only 3 points
really
this season.
Yeah, and the Bruins haven't looked terrific.
They have not looked good.
Yeah. Interesting. And he's a guy that you were sort of saying over the summer, he's going to be back. The Bruins are going to be a lot better.
Well, as long as he's healthy, he's usually good for like high 60s or 70-something points. I think it was last season he was at right around a point per game pace when he was in the lineup. Same with the year before that. But he's such a great passer of the puck, so he kind of makes this team go, along with Patrice Bergeron. But three points.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because I'm looking at it right now, and Boston has actually been one of the best teams in like Corsi percentage. So they're at least playing well, but maybe they're just not getting the results.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull it up right now. Yeah, they're shooting 8%. So
really?
They're not playing that badly, but maybe Krejci's just, he has yet to join in on the party.
Maybe.
I mean, Brad Marchand's playing well.
He is.
Scored his 300th goal of his career last night.
Point.
Sorry. Did I say goal? Yeah.
It was assisted by Richard Panik, right?
Yeah, exactly. 300th point. Point. My bad. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. We'll see.
The floodgates very well may open.
It's like you said, as long as he stays healthy. I mean, if the Bruins as a team are healthy, there's no reason why they can't make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
Especially if he's playing well.
Yeah. I think the weird thing for me with them has been Tuukka Rask, because he hasn't looked incredible.
It's been a weird start for him.
Yeah, and like, you know, they've had that weird goalie rotation.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, it's just strange that he's not really, because he was so good, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
2-3 years ago?
But he was just all right last year. He was not anything special last year.
Yeah. So I don't know.
It's kind of interesting, because Boston's sort of what's sort of turning into their demise, it looks like. Tuukka Rask's sort of slide has coincided. They've like paralleled each other.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if Boston is worse because Tuukka Rask isn't playing well, or if Tuukka Rask is not playing well because Boston is worse.
Yeah, I mean,
it's probably a little bit of both.
I would say their goaltending is clearly their problem, because they're so good in terms of generating offense and defending, but they're 27th in the league in even strength save percentage, 88.89%. So
bad.
There's maybe your answer.
That's bad.
I think with David Krejci, just, you know, looking into the lineup a little bit, a big part of the reason why he isn't doing as well is because how well Brad Marchand is doing.
Maybe. You
know, because Bergeron is center for Marchand, and Krejci is relegated to the second line. You know, normally he's normally the first line guy, right? And Marchand's more the second line defensive type.
But who's playing with Krejci?
It's probably Pastrnak, right?
Spooner and Zarniak.
Yeah.
Oh, Pastrnak's on the top line.
Yeah. So I mean, you know,
they're kind of putting all their eggs in one basket on that first line.
Yeah. You know, and you know, his minutes are down by a couple minutes from what he normally does. Like, he's only skating about 17-20 this season, and he has, I think, 11 shots or 13 shots in 11 games.
So he's not really shooting the puck.
Yeah, so like it seems like he's just not being put in a position where he's, you know, in the past he's sort of the offensive linchpin, and now he's, you know, he's not needed that way anymore.
And he's never really been a shooter either.
I mean, they do need him though, because like after him. You know, like the Bruins, I think they have one of the better forward groups in the Eastern Conference, but they're not incredibly deep. So they need him to play well. He's still an important piece of this team. And like, I really like Ryan Spooner. I think he's actually pretty good.
Mm.
So
And you know that David Backus would be probably on that line if he wasn't hurt.
I think they got Backus and Bilecki playing on the other line.
Yeah, and Backus is still hurt.
Yeah. So. But I don't know. Like for me, the big thing with the Bruins is their blue line is just so like they just have no depth. Anyway, Joe, who's your pick? Most disappointing.
So my guy is Frederik Andersen.
Oh yeah,
yeah, you know, a guy that was supposed to. You know, he was traded in the offseason to, you know, as a missing piece that Toronto needed. And, you know, he was supposed to at least provide some stability. And he hasn't really been that consistent this season. You know, he's looked a little better the past three games. He's allowed two goals against it in each of the past three games. But before that, like, he was allowing 5, 4, 7 goals. He hasn't been solid for Toronto like they were hoping he would be. You know, maybe the past couple games is a little more indicative of what he's going to be. But, you know, you were expecting him to at least be a good backstop, you know, for a team that is still building. And it seems to be kind of blowing up on him.
Yeah, I mean, first off, the big thing is Toronto's blue line is nowhere near what Anaheim had last season. I mean, he goes from, you know, arguably the best defensive team in the NHL to a team that's rebuilding. But interestingly, that's not really an excuse because the Leafs have actually been really good at 5-on-5. Like, they've been way better than what I think most people expected. So it's not totally fair to just say, oh, yeah, you know, he's on a young team and it's not his fault. Like, I think... Sometimes, like, I mean, I think, was it in the last game? Were they playing the Jets, was it? I forget. Oh, no, it was the game against the Oilers. The goal where he came out to play the puck behind the net.
Yeah.
That was one of the weirdest plays I've ever seen. So he comes out, the puck's coming around the boards, it gets dumped in. He goes right to where the back of, the area behind the goal line meets the restricted area.
Yeah.
Where the goalie can't cross.
The edge of the trap.
And I think either the puck got caught in like a little like puddle or something.
It seemed to slow down.
It just slowed down out of nowhere, and he's kind of waiting for it. His defenseman goes to get it really casually. I think it might have been Connor McDavid who just comes in, picks their pocket.
No, it wasn't McDavid.
It was some...
But, you know, it was a good... It was.
Oh, actually, it might have been Letestu.
Yeah, it might have been.
Because Lander was the one who scored that goal.
It was a hard forechecker, though. Like, he came in, like, sniffing, you know...
He came in hard, but at the same time, that should be a routine play.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, people are saying, oh, they're not used to each other. I don't know. Like, everything about Anderson's game to me this season has just looked a little off.
You know, what was really interesting, because we've been talking about how they've been having him play more aggressive.
Yeah.
And someone, I can't remember who, but someone asked Mike Babcock about it. And they said, what do you do with a goalie that's new to your team? Do you try and, like, change his style? Or, like, how much talking do you do with him? And Babcock said, no, we really just leave him alone and, like, let him do his thing. Which is...
Yeah, like...
What?
Well, he was getting at... You know, Anderson was brought in to be Anderson.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, they're not really going to mess with him. You know, they're not going to introduce... You know,
except they are a whole lot.
Well,
reportedly.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... Nothing is actually official.
Yeah, like, the reporter didn't ask directly, and Babcock, you know, didn't, you know, bring that up directly, but it sort of seemed like, you know, that was the genesis of the question.
Yeah, and, yeah, of course.
And, you know, Babcock may have seemed like, no, like, we're letting him be him. Like, you know, that they haven't really done anything. So...
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I think... Maybe there is truth to, you know, the reports that the Leafs, you know, goaltending coach, I think it's Benoit Allaire, or no, it's François Allaire. Benoit is in New York, but they have, you know, there have been rumors from people, I think, who are closer to the Leafs organization that they like to have their goaltenders play further out. I don't know. To me, that seems a little weird because François Allaire's brother Benoit is one of the most famous for, you know, like, getting goalies like Henrik Lundqvist to play deeper in their net.
Mm.
So that seems a little off to me. You know, who knows? Maybe it's Anderson's own coach during the summer, because goaltenders, I think more than any other position in hockey, goaltenders can really change from one year to the next just with the training they put in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, skaters go through drills. They try to get stronger or faster. but you don't really see a guy look different from year to year. Goalies can actually, like, they change their stance, they change their equipment. Like, I think that's one of the more interesting aspects of, like, season to season, seeing how a goaltender, like, just his new mask, even just stuff like that.
Yeah.
The new paint job. So with Anderson, I don't, like, it's tough to say what it is, because it'd be easy to buy into that narrative, and I think there is some truth to that. Like, I'm not going to totally discredit it, because other goalies have chimed in and agreed. But at the same time, I just think maybe he's just not as good as they thought. Like, even though he looked very good at times in Anaheim, he was never, you know, like, one of the league's best goaltenders there. Like, he was always just sort of hovering around above average.
Yeah, I mean, he has always looked good, but he's never, like, there's nothing about his game that screams elite to me.
I mean, in Anaheim, I think he had a .919 at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that's...
Which is good.
That's good.
But it's not, like...
Elite.
It's not elite. And so, I don't know. And they gave him a lot of money, I think $25 million for 5 years, something like that. So, look, now they're stuck with him.
Yeah. I mean, I still like the move, because it was either that or just, like, be horrible in goal until someone falls out of the sky or something.
I mean, I don't love the move, just because Anderson's already 26. So, you know, 5 years from now, he'll be 31. Like, who knows how, like, these are supposed to be his best years. Goaltenders, as opposed to skaters, their best years tend to be later in their 20s, whereas skaters tend to be earlier in their 20s. But I just don't know how much better he's going to get, you know? Like,
I think he is what he is.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you're a team that's growing, right, like the Leafs are, you don't really plan on making the playoffs or winning the Stanley Cup in the next two seasons. What's really the advantage of having, like, a finished product in net? Maybe they plan on trading him a couple seasons from now, because assuming maybe the salary cap goes up or something, he's going to have a pretty movable contract and he'll still be probably relatively good. But maybe it was just all to get out of Jonathan Bernier. I don't know. But it is kind of weird. And the Leafs did make a couple moves this offseason that sort of left you scratching their head. Like when they signed Matt Martin, they're a team that should be fully in on, like, we're kicking the can down the road. We just want to be good later.
Mm-hmm.
Let's develop for now. And they're doing that. So it was sort of weird to bring in a guy like Anderson who's not really fitting that timeline, you know? I don't know.
They're just in different places in their lives.
Yeah. I guess going back to what we were saying, I think Anderson he'll be fine. I still, like, I've seen enough of him to think that he's remains a good goaltender. And again, Joe was saying, he's played pretty well, like, the last couple of games. So
yeah, I don't think it's going to be the Vesa Toskala thing where he was so good with San Jose and then awful in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't think he'll be awful, but I don't
I don't think he's going to be great, but I think he'll be fine. I think
he could very well be worse in Toronto than he was in Anaheim. Like,
oh, of course.
Yeah, because he's no longer
isolated. I think he will be worse. Yeah. I just don't think he's going to be awful.
But it's just because, you know, where he's at in his career, you know, like we were saying with that .919 save percentage, a little worse is actually starting to be not that good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you go from a .925 to a .920 to a .919, you're still good.
Oh, he's already shaved 3 points off of that career percentage this year.
That's what I'm saying. So if he's a little worse, like, that's considerably worse, you know? That puts him in, like, not very good territory.
Yeah.
So...
And it's a lot of goals.
I mean, look, I'm fine with the Leafs having a bad goaltender. Like, I have no horse in this race here, you know? So...
All the better for Montreal.
Anyway, we've been talking about, like, Frederik Anderson's stance for, like 10 minutes, so...
And Joe brought up, he looks like Danish Rick Astley.
Yeah. He does. Oh, well, he's got, like, his hair is, like,
red.
Super...
I mean, all he needs is a trench coat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's never, ever going to give up on this season, and he will never, ever let Toronto down.
Melania Trump.
I actually... it's funny, because I also wonder how he's adapting to being the guy in, like, you know, probably the most pressure-packed market of any NHL city, outside of maybe, like, Montreal or, like, New York or something. Because, like, when I got a chance to interview him a couple times, like, in, like, post-game scrums, and he always looked a little, like shy, camera shy to me, you know? Like one time I asked him a question, it was, like, really sort of like, it was like a layup for him, and he was, like, his voice wasn't trembling, per se, but maybe he was just tired, I don't know, but, like, he didn't seem fully comfortable answering questions, and, like, in Toronto, that's all you do. That's like maybe 50% of your job is just talking to the media.
It was him 2 years ago in Anaheim, right, that got he got injured, and then he had to miss some time, and then he never got his job back because of Gibson.
That was last year.
Was it last year?
That was last year. He got, like, the flu. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he lost his job for a few months and then sort of got it back, and then they lost, and then...
Yeah, yeah, but, like, anyway. He did nothing to lose it, and suddenly he's not the goalie anymore, and then he didn't play as well coming back, right?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't play quite as well, and then he played well towards the end of the season, and then they started with him in the first round. Or no, they started with Gibson in the first round. Shoot, my facts are all messed up. They started with
Gibson. I thought Richard Ponick started in the first round.
They started with Gibson in the first round, and Gibson looked just bad in the first two games. Then they came back with Anderson, who was just lights out, you know, the rest of the way. So anyway, enough goalie talk. Joe, who's your most disappointing player?
That was it?
Frederik Andersen?
Oh, was it?
That's literally how long we talked about Frederik Andersen.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Man.
I'm so lost.
We wandered down a real long brick road.
We got so far away from that initial question that I forgot that I had even asked it.
Man.
I apologize.
We went down a road for a mile only to find out that the road's out.
I apologize to Joe's question for forgetting it. Yeah. But also, I don't apologize because I thoroughly answered it.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, talked about it.
if you are interested in hearing about Frederik Andersen, you came to the right place.
Yeah. We took a lap around the Toronto water cooler today.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk coaching. Joe, who's your coach right now that seems to be on the hot seat?
Well, I mean, I brought it up earlier with their special teams, but someone that I think if they do poorly, the coach that might go is Paul Maurice in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I think that's in play. It has to be in play.
Like, they should be doing better than they are last year and this year.
Because last year, I think he had an out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the goalie who sucks, and it's management who's maybe pushing for him to be in. Now, like, they have a good team. Like, they have a good young team. Like, you know, and they're not even that young, actually. Like, Blake Wheeler secretly is, like, I think, is he 30?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah. Matthew Perreault is no youngster.
Bufflin's not young.
But, you know, like, this team is sort of built to win now. You know, they have, like, a three-year window about. And, look, if they're not getting it done, I think Kevin Cheveldayoff is more of the patient type of general manager. But at some point, do you consider, if this trend maintains itself, do you consider, you know, cutting ties with Paul Maurice? I don't know.
And Paul Maurice...
I think he's a good coach.
I do too, but wasn't he hired initially? Was he hired for being the interim coach?
It's possible, yeah. I don't remember.
Like, until Winnipeg got suddenly good two seasons ago, they weren't really having any luck with coaches.
Yeah.
You know, so it is conceivable that, you know, he's not overstay his welcome, but, you know, they could look to go in a different direction now.
Which I think would be the wrong call, because I think he's, like, if he becomes a free agent on the coaching market, he's the first guy picked up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he is one of the better coaches. Like, I think he's not, like, a top 10 guy, but you could argue, like, top 15, mm-hmm. easily top 20 right now. And, like, I just don't know if they could do better, you know, maybe promote an assistant, get a guy from the AHL, but I don't know if they could do much better.
See if anyone else gets fired and then take that guy.
Yeah. Know? I mean, I think it's like, I think it's too early to really say that they should definitively like think about it. But if, you know, if another 10 games goes by and there aren't really clear signs of improvement, or at least consistent signs of improvement, we're going to hear rumors.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's going to happen. Yeah, it's inevitable.
We get towards the end of the month and, you know, they're still bringing up the rear.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, They probably won't have much of a choice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's like there's no reason, like they want to be good now.
Yeah.
They're good enough to be good now.
Yeah. They have
the roster. They like Patrick Laine looks phenomenal. Nikolai Ehlers looks good. That blue line, you know, it's they lost a lot with Jacob Trouba. We'll see if he comes back. Dude. But and they have two good young goaltenders. This team should be very good.
Well, two good. I was about to get to that. Two good young goaltenders that have been a little lackluster this season.
Yeah.
Do you think, you know, if they're in win now mode, do they go out and get someone who's available, like Halak?
I mean, it would be very interesting because you keep hearing Halak's name. I mean, his agent, Alan Walsh, I don't know if you guys saw this. Oh,
man, he teed off.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I don't blame him because the Islanders still have this silly three-goalie rotation thing going on.
It's because they don't want to lose Berube on waivers.
Yeah, which is fair. But look, if it's going to lose games for two guys who are like very good in Grice and Halak, like that's unfortunate. Yeah.
Like they're going to lose a goalie one way or the other.
And there are only two nets in practice.
Yeah,
you know. So
yeah.
So like in Winnipeg, the move that they can make to the roster is, you know, maybe bolstering their goalie for this season, or
ship Trouba for Halak.
Yeah, maybe.
And then send down Hellebuck to the minors.
Yeah. And
just go all in on this season. I mean, because there's no harm in sending Hellebuck down and just giving him another year. I just don't think you want to sacrifice a goalie in that equation.
Yeah.
I think Halak is a free agent this summer.
Mm. And that's the thing. Yeah,
it's a low-risk move.
The Islanders won't be asking for a goalie in return. Their problem is they have too many goalies.
Yeah, so that could be very interesting. Like, I mean, with Halak, I think it's hard to argue that the Winnipeg Jets aren't better right now. But I also think that given what we know about Hutchinson and Hellebuck, they also have the goalies to be good enough as so long as their game turns around a little bit. But Halak has looked so good that I don't know.
Yeah, so
that would be fun, though. That would be because, I mean, if the Islanders got Jacob Trouba, that would really make, because they already have a pretty good blue line. So, yeah.
And wait, who was the
Hamonic?
He was the one who wanted out.
Yeah,
last year.
Travis Hamonic.
And isn't he from around Winnipeg?
He's from Winnipeg, yeah.
And that's what he wanted, right?
Yeah. So, but he decided to stay in Long Island or Brooklyn.
Yeah. There could be it's just speculation, not really based off anything.
Yeah, we don't know anything.
It's a hypothetical, not even speculation.
We don't know anything.
Yeah.
We know nothing.
This is not based on any, even a rumor, it's not based off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it would just be interesting if it happened.
Yeah. All right, Nick, who's your hot seat candidate?
We pretty much transitioned right into it. Jack Capuano.
You stole mine.
I stole yours. The Islanders are 4-6, and right now cannot win on the road.
Yeah.
They're 0-3.
And they just look bad.
They look bad.
Like, I've gotten the chance to actually see them twice this season because the Canadiens have played them and the Ducks have played them. And I was, like, just kind of underwhelmed. Like, it's the time is now for this team.
Oh, yeah.
They looked awful against Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay, in fairness, is great, and we're extremely hungry because they've been awful as well to start the season. So, but I mean, Thomas Greiss had really nice numbers going into that game, and then both he and Halak left with awful looking stat lines.
Yeah, I mean, with the Islanders, I'm a little confused what they're doing. They brought in Jason Chimera, they're putting him on the first line with John Tavares.
Weird.
And I don't care what anyone says about Jason Chimera being a fast skater. Like, he's not anywhere near John Tavares' caliber.
Yeah.
He's not in the same galaxy as John Tavares.
I thought we were past doing this.
So they got rid of Okposo and got Chimera.
And then, it's like they bring in Andrew Ladd, who is a player I like, but they sign him to... I mean, they overpaid him. Like, he's already 30 or, like, 31.
Yeah, they
signed him to a massive contract.
They paid him as if he was like 26 or 27.
Which is like one of the, you know, most common mistakes on you know, free agency day.
And yet it keeps happening.
And, you know, like they let go of Okposo, bring in Ladd. I feel like that's a lateral move at best. Like, you know.
It's pretty lateral.
Like, yeah. I think Okposo's pretty good. He has to be younger.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe not by as much as we think, but like, I don't know. Like, their summer was just confusing to me. It was like, you guys have an opportunity here. You have one of the very best players in the National Hockey League with John Tavares. What are you waiting for to, like, be good?
Yeah, they're sort of wasting his youth.
And they have literally, like, their attendance is horrible. That arena is trash, like, for hockey.
It's bad. Everyone keeps saying how beautiful it is. Maybe it is on the outside. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen it from the outside?
No.
Oh, it looks very modern, you know?
Really?
Yeah, it's sleek. But it's not made for hockey. It's made for basketball.
Yeah.
Like, the Jumbotron is off-center.
Yeah.
And, like, there are areas where you can't see.
Is that car still there?
That stupid car is there.
There could be seats there.
I don't know. The whole thing just feels weird to me, you know, because there was all this fanfare of, like, all right, we're finally leaving Long Island, that old, you know, beat-up barn, and we're going to go to the flashy Barclays Center, and everything's going to be great. We have a young, exciting team. We have these new third jerseys that are the same color as the Nets. Everything's good. And, like, it hasn't been. They won a playoff round last year, which was nice. They got that crazy overtime goal from John Tavares, wrap around on Roberto Luongo at home. That was fantastic. That was a good moment for them. But ever since then, they've just made weird moves, and they look weird this season. They don't look good.
Yeah.
So I just, to me, this is a clear cut bait with Jack Capuano. It's time. Like, he's not the man for the job, I think.
Yeah. And
they're getting worse. That's what I don't get.
Yeah.
Because 2 seasons ago, the Islanders were a team
poised to, break through.
Sort of like the Jets and the Hurricanes going into the season, where I was like, you look at their underlying numbers, and this is a team that clearly, has a very good even strength game. And they've actually gone down every season since. And, you don't see that really ever, especially because their roster, they did the Matt Molson thing. They sort of screwed around. They still have Nikolai Kuhlman.
You make it sound like Matt Molson is like weed.
Yeah.
they tried Matt Molson one time and had a weird experience. It was kind of fun, but also...
And then the Thomas Vanek trade debacle, where they got a middling prospect and a second rounder for him. I don't know. The Islanders, everyone talks about how great of a general manager Garth Snow is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's generally seemed to... I mean, he's improved the team.
Yes.
I don't think you can deny that, considering how bad they were. But how hard is it to be better when you get John Tavares on your team?
Yeah.
I think you're better by default. And, adding Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk was nice, but you can only rest in those laurels for so long.
Yeah.
So, do you just fire Capuano now? Is it time? But then who's out there? That's the question.
Yeah, that's the big question. But it's like I said during our very, what felt like forever preview summer.
Yeah. I don't miss summer, actually. I like the cold.
You know what? I do like the cold.
It's hockey season.
But yeah, it's hockey season.
Cold, just like the Islanders. like I said about them, they've gotten to the playoffs. They've been able to win a round, so you start to think, okay, the pieces are in place. This team is ready to go deep, and he's still there, and it's still not happening. So yeah. I feel like this is the time.
And it's not like an Anaheim situation where, you guys, you're using the coach as a scapegoat. I mean, the fact that they've gotten worse in certain areas of the game that are measurable, shot attempts, it's just weird.
Yeah.
And
with a team that should be good.
With a team that has one of the most underrated defensemen in the entire league in Nick Leddy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a freak of nature when it comes to breaking the puck out of his zone. He's just so good at it. I would be very down to see a coaching change there. Just to see. Because if it doesn't work out with a new coach, then you can maybe surmise that maybe it's the roster.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they have this elite roster, but it should be good enough in the East.
Exactly. So it just feels like at this point, it's starting to feel like they're beating their head against the wall, but not really trying to do anything to stop it.
So pretty much what we're saying is we're trading Paul Maurice and Jacob Trouba for Teddy Nolan and Thomas Greiss.
Oh, you mean
Jack Capuano.
Yeah.
Thomas Greiss and Hamonic, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Oh, man, I wish you hadn't stolen that from me, but it's okay. We got a good conversation out of it. One guy who I think, and this is, I don't think he's on the hot seat, but you can kind of feel the water starting to bubble a little bit.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Daryl Sutter.
Yep, I knew it.
Daryl Sutter. And again, the LA Kings are the very best Corsi team in the NHL, by a lot.
Really?
They're at 58%.
Wow.
It's crazy. But they lost Jonathan Quick and Jeff Zatkoff. So now they're stuck with Peter Budaj and Jack Campbell.
Jack Campbell. We didn't even know where Jack Campbell was during the summer.
I forgot about him.
I think Peter Budaj is better than Zatkoff.
Yeah. I think Peter Budaj is actually not bad. And he's actually played pretty well for them. But to me, it's just you see they've thinned out up front with their forward group and arguably in their blue line. They called up Rob Scuderi, or they dressed him the other night.
And then they sent him back down.
Okay. But it just feels like this team is still playing well, but it feels like maybe they're starting to hit a bit of that down curve that we see with a lot of those championship teams. If it continues the way they're going right now, they lost to the Ducks 4-1 or something.
Yeah.
4-1 to the Ducks, who aren't good. They should have beaten up the Ducks, quite frankly.
And it looked every bit of a 4-1 game, didn't it? Like, it was pretty convincing.
Yeah, because, you know, I expected, like, when I looked back at the numbers, I thought, oh, like, the Kings definitely outplayed them for most of the game. It was just the Ducks got hot. But, like, while the Kings did have more pucks thrown on net, it wasn't by, like, this crazy margin. Mm-hmm. So, I don't really know what's afoot there. But at the same time, I would say that they shouldn't fire Daryl Sutter because, again, you can't do better than Daryl Sutter in this current market. Like, Daryl Sutter is one of the best coaches in the league.
Yeah, he's the reason why they won even their first Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and so that being said, it's a matter of what do you think the problem is with this team? Like, and we always go back to this, how do they see themselves?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it would be interesting because I think, let's say the next 10 games, they only win like 3, you know? Give or take overtime losses or whatever, like, what do they do then? Let's say they go 500 the next 10. Like, I don't know. I don't foresee them being that bad just because of the way they play. But, I mean, it's not out of the question that Dean Lombardi would do something a little crazy.
No, it's definitely not. But I see firing Sutter as, like, misidentifying the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Holy crap. I'm looking at LA's schedule right now. All right. One, they're very sort of black and white, no pun intended, with their jersey. They lost the first 3 games in regulation. They won the next 4 games in overtime and 1 shootout, and they lost the next 3 games in regulation.
Yeah.
So like that's not really consistent. They're not playing consistently good hockey.
Yeah. I mean, again, like it's tough to say what really is the problem with this team. I mean, you can look at their shooting percentage, and I think they're at below 6. It's at like 5.78, I think, something like that, at even strength. So they don't really have like the finishing power, the finishing talent that they might have had in years past, because you can get those pucks on net as much as you want, but sometimes if you don't have the talent to really put away chances, it's going to be harder to score goals. And they've been a team who's always been on the lower end of shooting percentage just because, A, the volume, they just get so many pucks on net. And also they don't really need a good finishing rate. But now with the way their depth is shaking out, the way perhaps their goaltending could head, they need a bit more of that scoring punch.
And this is still a team that has Dustin Brown, Jordan Nolan, Kyle Clifford.
They gave Trevor Lewis this like weird extension.
Yeah. So just like depth is a real life issue for them.
Yeah.
The month of November will be very telling for them.
Who are they playing?
Their next game is against Pittsburgh.
Oh, right, because Anaheim just played Pittsburgh. Yeah.
But in this stretch, they're playing Montreal and Ottawa, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Anaheim again.
Those are all feisty games.
Chicago, San Jose. Yeah, so they're
who's the worst team in that? Ottawa?
Toronto.
See, like, if I'm the Kings, I don't want to play Toronto.
Yeah, like, I think... Oh, actually, you know what? The game before that, Calgary might be...
Oh.
Another disappointing team.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know,
although Brian Elliott looks pretty good.
Yeah, so they're playing some teams upcoming in November that are either really good or you can't overlook them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
this could destroy them this next month.
Yeah.
Or we could just see them bounce back.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is at all out of the question. It just feels like this is potentially them starting to get away from those championship years a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really do anything in the offseason that made you think, oh, wow, like they want to do this again. It just sort of felt like, all right, we're gonna keep our guys. I think they re-signed Kopitar. They gave him that crazy extension, or that might have been 2 summers ago, or they named him the captain. So yeah. Anyway,
yeah, I think the extension was a couple off seasons ago.
Yeah, but either way, it just didn't feel like they were reloading really. Yeah, I mean, you could argue their biggest move was Devin Setoguchi.
Maybe,
and he's worked out.
He's worked out fine, but it's like, you know.
Yeah, you're sort of scraping the bottom of the barrel there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've scraped the whole barrel.
I think we have.
Yeah. All right, Nick, you got to be up for work in what?
Soon.
Like, very soon. Like 5.5 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys got to head to Disneyland this weekend.
Heading to Disneyland?
Are you going
to
celebrate your new team's win?
are we going to celebrate the Cubs?
Yeah.
We're going to be bandwagon fans after the fact.
That's fine. Why not?
You know what? Any reason to celebrate.
I have a hat.
I'm down to celebrate almost anything.
All right. Well, on that note.
Guys, thank you for joining us on another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. If you want to hear more of us, you can listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher. We are on Stitcher.
Don't forget,
for those of you that have...
Stitcher family.
For those of you that have phones that explode, for those of you that don't have phones with weird unlocking functions, you can listen to us on Stitcher. We are on there.
You're throwing so much shade at the iPhone.
I'm throwing a lot of shade at the iPhone community. But we're on both of those.
We're also on iTunes, so be careful.
Guys, I love iTunes so much. Have I mentioned that? I love iTunes. Love iTunes. Great. Known them for a long time. Big fan. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We love both. We are on Twitter at Garage Hockey Pod. Tweet us your questions or any topics that you want us to discuss. Guys, until next time, I'm Richard Ponick. Thank you for listening.